everyone. Welcome to the second episode of The Financial Wave. Today, I am joined by Daryl, a colleague here, and he's going to tell you a little bit about himself.
Thanks, Garrett. Yep, my name's Daryl Johnson. I work in the lending department here with Jersey Shore. I've been with the credit union for 5 years. I've worked on the teller line, on the desk, as a loan processor.
Jack of all trades is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so right now I work in the lending department. I process home equity loans, do some underwriting, and today we're going to chat a little bit about loans.
Yeah. So our focus today is we're going to answer some, you know, common questions people may have that don't work with, you know, loans every day like we tend to. Daryl's going to be our expert here because he knows more than I do. Then I'm going to be the general public asking the questions that I don't understand either. So to get into it, one question we get is people see secured loans and unsecured loans. So what's the difference between the two of them?
Yeah, so there's two basic real types of loans that we offer at the credit union, those being secured loans and unsecured loans. Typically, a secure loan requires a piece of collateral as a condition of borrowing. So you can think of your typical auto loan, mortgage, home equity loan, boat loan, RV, motorcycle loans, anything where there's something physical that you own that has like a title.
Okay. So like for the auto loan, then it's like the car is your collateral.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. So that car basically is the security interest, and that's created for both parties, the lender and the borrower. And basically the lender hopes the borrower pays it back over time, creating a promise to repay.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's secure. Now what is an unsecured? What's the difference there, obviously?
So an unsecured loan, there's really no collateral involved at all. So you can think of your typical credit card. Or a personal loan. We offer installment personal loans. There's no collateral involved, so they're inherently more risky for the credit union, hence leading to a little bit higher of a rate when you compare like a personal loan to an auto loan.
Right, and that makes sense. And it's interesting too, because I think a lot of people don't think of a credit card as a loan. Like you just think credit card's a credit card, but it really is a loan.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the lender sets a limit, and then the consumer can go and use your credit card like I do, purchase stuff on Amazon,
Yeah, and then they have to pay back.
Right,
so and just then you normal loan stipulations.
Exactly.
All right, so that's question one. Go to question two here. So, if I'm someone new that's never really done the loan thing or applied for or bought a car, bought a house, I might not really know what I need to be prepared to come into a credit union or somewhere else to get a loan. So, what kind of documents do I need as the person going to get the loan?
Yeah, so applying for a loan can be kind of scary at first.
I think a lot of people are afraid and afraid to ask these questions because they don't even know who to ask sometimes.
Yeah, and it's actually a lot simpler than people think. I mean, for most of the loans here that we process at the credit union, there's really minimal documentation that you need up front. Like for an auto loan, if you're buying it at a dealership, we're just going to want to confirm the loan details with like the buyer's order that you get at the dealer. If you are processing a home equity loan, there's a little bit more documentation that's required, just for audit purposes and compliance purposes. Did you want to get into those specific documents?
If I'm giving them to you, I'm just going to ask, what do you need from them? Why am I giving them to you? What does that help you guys do?
Yeah. So the first and foremost thing is that it helps the loan processor and the loan underwriter, process the actual loan application accurately. So for instance, if you are applying for a home equity loan, we require a copy of the deed that shows like who actually owns the property.
Makes sense.
Yeah. We require the most recent property tax bill so we can see that if the property taxes are paid and they're current. We also require the most recent mortgage statement if there is a current or existing mortgage on the property. We also require the homeowner's insurance to make sure the home is properly covered.
Gotcha.
And then lastly, we do require proof of income.
Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a home equity loan, is going to be a little bit bigger, bigger purchase, something like that. So it makes sense that there's going to be a little bit more documentation required than, so now what if I'm just applying for a personal loan?
Yeah. Conversely, a personal loan, you really can just walk in and have, your request that you need, the loan amount, how long you wanted to take out the loan, and really proof of income is stipulated upon decision. So you might need proof of income. Your credit worthiness might not necessarily stipulate proof of income is required.
Gotcha. And if I did need to provide a proof of income, is that just a pay stub or something like that?
Yeah, most common, it's the most recent pay stubs with year-to-date income, but it does get a little bit technical at that point, depending on your profession. We do have the authority to ask for your most recent completed tax returns. Gotcha. If you might be self-employed or a business owner.
Right. That makes sense. So something that's not a clear pay stub, you know, every month or something mm-hmm. like that, something that's not consistent, I guess you would say.
Correct. But at the end of the day, it's something we say often here at the credit union, each situation is inherently different. So right. while there are basic principles and guidelines, you know, we really don't know what we're looking at until you come and you apply, which is important that, you know, you kind of know how to come to the table.
Right. And I think it's good too, because, you know, you obviously you can apply online for a lot of these loans. But if, you know, if you're someone that's still new to the process, and, you know, you feel a little unsure of what you need, maybe coming in is the option. You know, talk to someone that maybe deals with it every day that might have the answers to these questions normally. Or maybe you can listen to us and we'll answer more as we go on here.
Yeah, I mean, we're here to kind of help and meet your financial needs. So we listen to what you hope to get out of us, and hopefully we can, you know, we can do that.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we'll slide on down to our next question here, which is, I think, a topic that gets brought up a lot is credit scores. So what is the best way to check a credit score or know my credit report or anything along those lines so I can, you know when I'm going to apply, you know, what they're going to find when they look?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, and it's a little bit more complicated than you might think.
Of course it is. Why wouldn't
it? Some things are easier than you expect and some are not. But for starters, each lender is going to have their own credit score criteria, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
There's three major credit bureaus.
Okay.
Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion.
It's a good thing you said that, because that was going to be my next question.
Right. So each of those three bureaus then have their own set of scoring criteria. So the score is going to be different from the bureau, and it's going to be calculated based off of different variables.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. So at Jersey Shore, we use scoring information to determine your credit score from Experian.
Right.
Specifically the FICO version 8.
Okay. But if I went to go, you know, say somewhere down the street, they might use someone else.
Could be totally different.
Gotcha. Okay.
But if you do have a loan here at the credit union, we do report payment data, current, on time, or sometimes late, to all three bureaus.
Okay.
So just to kind of recap, we receive and pull information for scoring, and which determines your interest rate,
right,
from Experian.
That was my next question. We'll touch on that in a second.
And then we send information to all three bureaus.
Gotcha. So now, again, here's why, you know, why is the credit score so important? You know, a higher credit score would do what for you?
A higher credit score gets you a lower rate.
And that's pretty much what you're looking for when you're applying for a loan. Yeah. The lower the rate, you know, the less you're paying.
Exactly. Yeah. Your credit worthiness is the number one factor in pricing the loan. You're, say, pricing loan. We basically are just saying, okay, if you're a certain score, you get a certain rate. And if it's a car loan, the model year determines the rate too. But there's a couple other factors. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the more credit worthy you are, meaning the higher credit score you have, the stronger of an applicant you may be, you know, hence earning yourself a lower interest rate,
right,
paying less interest over time.
Because then you're saying you're less of a risk to the person that's giving you the loan then, right? If you have a higher score, you have a little bit more of a history of paying and being on time with things. Is that?
Assuming the credit report supports that as well.
Yeah,
but yes,
exactly.
Ultimately that's the theory.
Gotcha. And so now how do I check? If I want to go and check, is there like a website or an app or something I can go to?
Yeah, so there's both. The first thing is more of a formalized check on your credit report. The website is called
annualcreditreport.com.
Basically, as a consumer, the CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, basically says you're entitled to a free copy of your credit report once from each bureau in a 12-month period.
Okay.
So if we're doing the math right, you can get up to 3 free credit reports, one from each bureau per year.
Right.
The only caveat there is that those reports don't have your credit score.
Got it. So you can see what was reported, but not exactly what that score adds up to, pretty much.
Which is also good, because you want to check those lenders and make sure that they're reporting accurate information. If you've made your payments on time on your 60-month auto loan, that credit report should then show that.
Right.
If it doesn't, if it shows that you were late one time and you have evidence and can prove that you weren't, you need to file a dispute immediately. And then you can do that with the reporting bureau of record.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. I mean, obviously, you know, you take all that time to make sure you're paying off the loan. You want to make sure it's being reported correctly.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, so it doesn't have your credit score on it, but you're really just checking to make sure that you know, what actually happened on your payments is what's being told is what's happening.
Gotcha.
But then you did ask about how do I check my score?
Right.
Right. So there's a bunch of free apps out there. I personally use Credit Karma myself.
Yeah. I also use Credit Karma. So that's another good one.
Yeah. That was like one of the first ones that I remember seeing like commercials for on TV, and I've just stuck with it. But I think a bunch more have popped up over time.
It seems to be a little bit more accessible than it used to be back in the day, but at least, you know, there are options out there. So you're not just going in blind.
Yeah. And that's going to give you two scores. I don't know which two it gives you, but again, you have to be a smart consumer when you're checking your credit score and credit report and look at more than just the number. I think that gets glazed over a lot. People just see the number. You want to know who the number's coming from and what. If you can, you know, see what makes up that number, whether it's my payment history or how much percentage of my credit card balances am I using, or how long have I had my credit profile for, things like that.
Yeah. When it comes to checking, I think it's good to be a little skeptical. You know, you really want to look at the, you know, really find the details to make sure, you know, you don't want to just, like you said, see the score and go, oh, that's what it is. Sign off and have it, you know, you can do a little bit of research. You know, you spend all that time preparing, you know, make sure you're okay.
Absolutely.
Now, moving on from credit scores, let's go to, you know, you're getting the loan and people hear, you know, co-sign, co-borrow, you know, joint applicant. So what is the difference between a co-signer and a co-borrower? Because there is a difference, right? I think so, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a difference, especially here at the credit union. There's two different like applicant profiles. So you have your borrower, somebody's coming in to apply for a loan. And then, you know, it's a very common question we get from the member themselves, or sometimes our employees even ask the lending department, hey, like, when should I, do I need to add a co-signer, or should I, do I need to add a co-borrower? The ultimate difference, I'll try to make it as simple as possible. A co-signer basically helps the applicant get approved for a loan in the event that they don't have a credit profile. So let's say it might be like a younger individual, somebody who's trying to get their first car loan and they have a job. They've been there for X amount of months.
Right.
Maybe they have a few small credit cards they got. They don't really, and they're managing their monthly payments, right? And their income is enough to qualify them for the loan itself. So this applicant on their own, you know, looks solid, except when we go to look at their credit report, there's really not much there.
Not a lot to look at. Is that a gotcha? Okay. Right. So it's a history issue more than really anything else. Okay.
Because then you could be asking yourself, well, how am I supposed to get approved for this car loan if I've never had a car loan before? Isn't that like a little bit unfair?
Yeah.
Well, we say, well, we would want a co-signer at this point because it's going to help you with a stronger credit history. And it also might get you a better rate because that co-signer might have a better score than you.
Right. Now, I know we talked about, you know, if you're a young kid, you may have a parent or a guardian or something about that, but, you know, we always advise maybe who you co-sign for just to make sure, because, you know, you are somewhat liable.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely liable. You want to be careful who you co-sign for, because if I were to co-sign for you right now, that loan is going to report not only on your credit, it's going to report on my credit too. So I need to make sure those payments are being managed properly, because I'm not making those payments. Maybe I just lent my credit history for you to get a better rate.
Right.
But that's going to report on me. So if you miss a payment, it's going to negatively affect me.
Yeah. So that's, you know, keynote to take away here. No, just be careful you're signing for, because it can come back. So now what is a co-borrower?
So a co-borrower is a little bit different. Typically we look for co-borrowers in what we call spousal relationships. Catchphrase here from the lending department to the employees is shared liabilities.
Gotcha. You know, okay.
Does your applicant share any liabilities with a spouse or somebody else, maybe in the home? If you look at the scenario where, you know, you have two people who got a mortgage approved together and they're living in a home and they're paying the mortgage together.
Right.
Okay. Now that only one of them applies for a loan in their name only, well, that credit report's going to show that full monthly payment. And it could kind of count negatively against them without their other half sharing those liabilities. So typically, co-borrower will ask for, when we know somebody shares liabilities, if we see like certain trade lines on the credit report show as joint or show as borrower.
Gotcha.
Typically, we look for that if there's like something that's like, okay, this person wouldn't get approved based off maybe their debt to income ratio, but we can see that there's other liabilities on their credit report that are joint that they're sharing with others. It can get a little bit complex, but really, if you think of a co-signer as somebody who's going to help the person with limited credit history.
Yeah.
And a co-borrower is really somebody who like shares the monthly bills with.
Right. And I think that's probably, that's a great way to just explain that as layman terms as possible, because I'm sure obviously you can get a little bit more in depth, but I think that's like the basic explanation that I think most people would look for, and at least most people would understand. So here's one. Here's a fun one. You know, rates have been a little tricky lately. Obviously, if people see that they've been going up, we're not going to get into anything crazy of why they go up. But basically what happens is as inflation goes up, as it did, the rates tend to go higher because that's how the Fed tries to fight inflation. They raise interest rates and that's supposed to bring inflation down. So that's why we've been seeing this high, you know, high rise in rates. But say I take a loan out now with this high rate. Now, am I stuck with it is the question. You know, did I just pick a bad time and now I'm just going to have to deal with the consequences, or can I do something about it?
Yeah, it might feel like that in the moment, but just like we want to be responsible when we're checking our credit score and getting all that information, like, no, you're absolutely not stuck with the rate that you may have signed for at the dealership. But you can absolutely refinance a loan at any time. Typically, your home loans, like a mortgage or a home equity, sometimes some lenders might charge like extra fees or points or costs.
Right.
But if we're looking at, hey, I went to a dealership and I bought a nice new pickup truck and I got charged 8%, whatever it might be.
Right.
You can then come to your local credit union or bank or institution and you can attempt to refinance that. And I know we don't charge any extra fees. You're basically just being a smart consumer at that point and trying to maximize the money that you're paying
Right.
And pay less interest at a lower rate.
It doesn't hurt to look. I mean, that's the thing. You know, if you have a high rate and you know you think you could get it somewhere else, you know, it doesn't hurt to look around and see if you could find, you know, even if it's a percent or two, it's still going to be a long run, especially on a big purchase. You know, it's money that's saved for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically no different than shopping for like a new pair of shoes. Like you wouldn't hit every store to see if there's a sale or something like that.
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, you can shop around for the lowest rate.
Now, is there same paperwork needed if, like, say I'm trying to refinance a car? You know, we go back to the car example. Do I need similar if I was getting a new car? Or is it different?
It's a little bit different. Here at the credit union, we'd want to see, like, a payoff letter. Basically, that's, like, the letter from the institution who currently has the loan. That's okay. Going to say how much is owed. It'll have, like, a per diem interest, basically how much that company is charging you per day in interest or a daily interest charge. And you would want to give that to us up front while you're processing it, because that's going to be the amount of the new loan. Basically, you're saying, I want Jersey Shore to pay off my current finance company.
Right.
And the payoff letter is going to help us do that.
Nice. Okay. So that makes total sense. So remember, people out there, you know, you might pick a bad time to get a loan, but you're not stuck with it. So, you know, you could always go refinance. Like I said, obviously, we'd love the credit union to be your option, but there are other places too. So, you know, as long as you can find the best rate, you know, that's the best for your financial situation. I think that's a good move to do. So always do your research at least and try to find, you know, that low rate.
Yeah, I mean, I like to just kind of follow that with just be a smart consumer. It's really no different than shopping. If you're at the grocery store, you're looking for the cheapest, you know, can of peas or beans or whatever it might be. Yeah, I mean, it's really no different at the end of the day.
Exactly. Any other last minute things, or is that you think we covered those basics?
I think those are the basic principles. Just to kind of harken back, you can come into the credit union and use a loan processor to the best of your ability. We're here to listen. We're here to help you with your financial needs.
Right.
And we're going to try to offer the products and services we have that we feel like best fit your specific need.
Right. And I think that's the best thing. You know, use the resources you have. I know we did this podcast topic because we know some people, you know, don't want to put themselves out there and, you know, pick up the phone and call or, you know, come into the branch and talk to us. So hopefully we could at least answer the basic baseline of questions that people may have in this episode. And I think you did a great job explaining them in a term that at least I understand and hopefully everyone else listening can understand as well.
Great. Thanks, Garrett. Yeah. I tried my best.
No problem. So what we always like to finish our podcast episode off with is a community corner. So just what we're doing right now in the community. We have our NICU clothing drive going on right now to support the NICU Center at Shore Medical. So that goes on till the end of April. We're right now in March recording. So so if you hear this and you have some, you know, baby clothes or new baby clothes or new preemie clothes that you'd like to drop off at the branches, we have a collection bin at every branch right now.
Yeah, it's a great cause. We do that every year, right?
Yep. So I think it's like our third or fourth year doing it. And it's always super supported by our awesome members and staff and everything. I know this is a little anecdote story. I was with Nancy, our call center, and she said she knit a hat. She had like a preemie hat. And then the next day her dog ate it.
Oh, man.
So we're going to be down a hat this year.
She needs to get knitting.
She's got to get another one done. But that's it. We will sign off on that. And we would like to thank Daryl for joining us on the Financial Wave.
Great. Thanks, Garrett.
Yeah, no problem.